Tanse. Welcome to Winter Bundle. Pipun Mamawip Chikimashkekia. Each bundle of stories, sounds, teachings, and sharings from Indigenous kin, Two-Spirit community, artists, elders, has been assembled with care and an intention to offer medicine and comfort for our spirits, minds, hearts, and bodies in these wintering times. Many of our nations say only after the first snow has covered the ground can we tell our sacred stories. And while the stories we include here may not be sacred in our traditional ways of knowing, they carry much needed medicine for us during these strange times. We are grateful for the traditional carers of these lands upon which these stories were collected. Nyawang, to the Ganyangehaga, Mohawk people of Jojage, Montreal, and to the Anishinaabe, who called this land Munyang. We invite you to consider the lands you are listening from, acknowledging with care those who have tended and continue to tend to the lands, waters, skies, trees, and to all the stone, root, fruiting, blooming, and seeding kin, to all the four-legged, swimming, flying, creepy crawler ones, and the perhaps not visible, to our star relations, the thundering ones, the rainbow bodies, the weather beings, and all other life who animate existence. If you're able, we invite you to light a candle, pour yourself some tea, get cozy with a blanket, and take a deep breath. Settle into these stories, and may they provide you the medicine you need. To begin, we're joined by Mel Lefebvre, a Two-Spirit, Métis Nehio Nakoda Soto artist, mother, and community worker. Here's a clip from her podcast, Kiano Mashkekewakan, Our Medicines, celebrating Two-Spirit and Indigenous women resilience and practices of self-care. In this clip, Mel is in conversation with Mohawk multimedia artist Skawinati, best known for her work exploring Indigenous futures, and as one of the founding members of DAFNI, an Indigenous artist-run center in Jojage.
So this podcast is called Our Medicines, Kiano Mashkekewakan in Nehiyawewin. I feel like all of the work of everyone that I'm interviewing is really like medicine that they're receiving from community or providing community, and then how they provide that medicine to themselves after, like, stepping away from that work, and how we do it, if we do it at all, because sometimes we don't, right? Mm-hmm. So you mentioned joy like a few times. It seems like that's one of your driving factors, is like finding joy in things or doing something because it brings you joy. So maybe like your kind of self-care is already, it's like worked into your practice a lot. Do you feel like that?
I think that's a big part of it. Absolutely.
Sounds like you're having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, no, there's a lot of like other things. Like I really need sleep. Mm-hmm. I really need to eat. So like I get a lot of sleep. Like I have my, like 8 hours is my minimum.
Me too.
Yeah. If I have less than 8 hours, I'm so unhappy. And I don't. I just don't think as fast, mm-hmm. and I don't, yeah. And then if I don't eat, and I have to eat 4 times a day, and like I can tell time by my hunger. Yeah, and I'm just trying to always improving what I eat, and I'm always learning, like the self-care thing, as we've discussed earlier. I have to say no to a few more things. I mean, as they say, a great problem to have, but
I'm glad you didn't say no to me. But but it's time for us to eat, so we gotta go. Eat and sleep.
We now head west to a story by Nahio Cree knowledge keeper, ceremonial elder, and my adopted uncle, Joseph Natauhau. This story he shares highlights themes relating to grief, death, and letting go while offering medicines for healing and reconnection.
How are you, my relatives, my friends? My name is Joseph Natauhau. I come from Sturgeon Lake First Nation, but I've moved around a lot in my life. And right now I reside in Saskatoon, so this is where I live most of the time. But right now I'm telling this story from Valmarie, Saskatchewan. Southwest. I was married a long time ago for 7 years. As soon as I turned 20, I met my first partner, and she asked me to marry her. I guess I was really lost because I'd come out of residential school and I didn't know where my life was going to take me, so I accepted her request. And we got married. And we went on to university. I went and met her family. And to my surprise, they were very accepting, loving, very kind. You know, they called each other auntie, uncle, mother. There was no father at the time. And so I felt like I was in heaven. I'd found a family that I had lost back when I was 6 years old. Because after that, my family became very dysfunctional. There was a lot of alcoholism. There was a lot of violence. You know, sure, there were a few aunts that I got along with, you know, over the years, but basically we were a broken family. So to be in my partner, my wife's family was like a godsend. And we carried on going to university for 3 years. And then, we were working for a time, but at some point, you know, some of these emotions started coming up in my body from the years of trauma that I experienced, and I started reacting, you know, and it was not extreme, but it could have been. My emotions were a bit lopsided. I preferred gentler emotions. I didn't like people getting angry and upset and shouting and being very assertive. I couldn't handle that. And so, when my first wife asked me for a divorce, you know, I just complied. I said, okay. You know, not really knowing what I was saying, you know, what I was getting myself into. But that's what she wanted. And when you're in residential school, you always kind of are very passive about any situation when people ask you things like that, of that nature. They have the last word, you know, they are right, you are wrong. That's what I learned. And so we separated and I went back to Saskatoon and lived in a city by myself for a while. I felt like a lost pup. I didn't know what to do, how to carry on with my life. But I managed somehow. And then a year later after we divorced, she calls me and asks me if I could help her. And by that time, I'm getting involved in relations, you know, in another relationship. But when she asked me for help, it was because she was going through a period of cancer that came into her body. And so, I said, okay, I've known you for 7 years. I'm still close to you. I miss you sometimes, you know, a lot of times actually. And so I hadn't let go of her. So I went back and tried to be of help with all the ceremonial knowledge that I had gained at that point, you know. So we tried to go to elders and ceremonial people to deal with her cancer. And some of it helped, you know, but in the end we had to give into it, and she entered into St. Paul's Hospital in Saskatoon and started treatment there. But I believe it was a little too late. If you don't catch it early, cancer will just take over your body. And so that's what happened. And so she stayed there for a few weeks. It was just a matter of time. And as soon as she entered into the hospital, there was a huge storm. And this storm blocked all roads, you know, from her community to Saskatoon. But magically, there was two brothers who made it through that storm, and they came to be with her, beside her, along with myself. And we stayed together there with her until she crossed over, she passed away. And that's when it really hit me. There she goes, you know, and now I'm completely alone. You know, I've lost my best friend, I've lost my wife of 7 years, and I went outside and looked up into the sky, wondering where she went. You know, I just wandered the streets for nights and then days looking up. At the same time, I had a brother, a Jewish man, who had come. We became adopted, you know, we adopted each other. And he had brought something with him, because we had met him earlier, too, to try and help Phyllis, you know, through his cancer. And he brought this sacred pipe. And I understood what it meant, what it represented. It represented life. And so I took that pipe, and I carried it, you know, through that painful period that I was experiencing, hoping that it would somehow help me. And my brother, Ken, went back to Colorado. And again, I was alone. And so I spent some time, you know, just wandering the streets. And sometimes I'd look up the street to see if I could see my ex-wife. And sometimes I would look to the sky, you know, wondering which star she is, all these things I go through. But all the time I was feeling completely alone. And so I guess in some ways, when I was looking up at the stars, you know, to the sky, I was asking for help. I was desperate, I was very pitiful. And I was looking up for guidance. And strangely, the universe will answer. And one night I'm sleeping, you know, and I start dreaming. And I start dreaming of people that I've met on the Powell Trail. You know, the Tatusas family were one family that I spent a lot of time with and became friends with them. And so I dreamt about Arsene, and I used to wonder, why am I dreaming about this family? And sometimes it'd be in the darkness, like in nighttime. And then one day one of them says, you know, Pito, come and dance. It's going to be a round dance in our land, in our community. So I kept that in the back of my mind, you know, not really taking it too seriously. But some other dream told me, you know, to go. So I picked up my car, you know, my car keys, and off I went, you know, driving towards Poundbaker First Nation. And I drive and drive and drive, you know, and I'm listening to powwow music all the way. It's pitch black, you know, and finally arrive in Poundbaker, and there I am. park in my vehicle, and it's just pitch black. And I see the hall, the band hall, and all I could see is the light from the doorway. And I headed over there. I wasn't carrying my drum at that time. I was just going there, you know, just to go and dance, you know, to honor this invitation. And when I arrive at the door, there's Austin, Arsene's older brother. And he says, come in, my relative. It is good that you've come here. This will help you. I've never forgotten those words. Those were the most welcoming words that I could hear at that time, you know, where I was experiencing great sorrow, tremendous, you know, strife. So there, I went inside there and I started dancing and being with the people and just basically enjoying myself, even though life was difficult for me at that moment. And so I just continued on that night into the wee hours of the morning. And I felt at peace, I felt calm, I felt something had entered into my life that night. And that sustained me for the next while. Further, I guess later, realized that what I was doing was entering into a spirit dance, where the spirits are invited to come and dance with us, you know, here on Earth. Be Chichewin, they say. Here. So this is the spirit that dances with the people dance. And so there I was, you know, might have been dancing with my ex, my ex-wife for 7 years, my partner. And so I continued that way with that thought, you know, Tapu Nyash. He said, this is beautiful, you know, to have this place that you can go when you're having difficulty. And so I kept going after that, you know, even though I couldn't really let go totally of my first wife. It took me 7 years. I lived with her for 7 years, and it took me 7 years to let go. Not that I wanted to, but in the spirit and the physical realm, there has to be a separation, and it has to be complete. One cannot hang on to the other. And it was primarily myself. I was hanging on because I was sad. I was very much in a very, you know, pathetic state, you know, just holding on to this memory of this individual, this first wife that I knew, of Phyllis, of her image, of our life. You know, I was taking my time to let go, not realizing that I wasn't even letting her go. I wasn't, you know, I was hanging on to her. And once I realized that, the work began. I began to understand why it's important that to let go of the spirit. Otherwise, you could get sick yourself, you know, from these feelings, you know. But I was very lonely. That's you know, because I had a reason to be lonely. But when I realized that there's a place you can go, I was so joyful, I was so happy about that. And so this is a story, you know, that I don't share too often, but it's a story that I've gained insight, and I've also continued to sing those songs in Sweat Lodge, and also share this story with others, you know, that are having difficulty letting go or understanding that difference between this world and the other world, what happens. But that's just a little bit I want to share with you. And I thank you, Mo Clark, for asking me to talk a little bit about my life and what I went through. And hopefully this story may help someone along the way. I'm thankful for this life and for what I have learned.
In Joseph's story, he shares the word pichuin, which in Nehyawewin means the spirit moves between. Round dances were one of the catalyzing forces behind the Idle No More movement that set wildfires across what is known as Canada. And now we hear from Kijate, a young two-spirit Anishinaabe artist and storyteller. This is their take on A.S. Kijate was sharing with us in Anishinaabe Mohin, part of the Algonquin language family. And now we hear messages from Two-Spirit Elder Blue Waters, Ishji Nigamun, Earth Song, Cree Métis Mi'kmaq Wolf Clan Grandmother. Blue shares with us important teachings to offer us medicine and care.
Beautiful people, it's Elder Blue coming to you here from the beautiful territory of Peterborough, surrounded by Alderville First Nation, Curve Lake First Nation, and Hiawatha First Nation. Coming to you to give you some words of encouragement and a little story about the season that we're in, which is winter. Coming to you with the understanding that this is the time when that snow covers our Mother the Earth, allowing her to rest, allowing her to replenish all that she has given out to each and every one of us over these past 9 months. A time for us to look at ourselves, to get that healing we need, to come to a place of well-being. Through all the anxieties we've experienced with COVID-19, now is the time for us to pull up those blankets of love and rest for ourselves, so that we too can replenish ourselves, giving ourselves that sense of balance. A time when the earth goes to sleep in winter, and those things that have given and barren their bountiful bounty for us get to rest, and we get to enjoy all that goodness from them. A time when we can be with our families, a time for us to reflect and see what it is that's important. A time for us to reach out to those family members we may have had disagreements with and have separated ourselves from. A time for us to connect with those that are like-minded. A time for us to listen to the gentleness of the wind, to look towards that spirit of the bear that is sleeping, and know that in a month or two, that bear will be awakening and coming out of its den for the sustenance that it needs, because it's given new life to a cub, and that cub has been taking from that mother, much like we have been doing for the last 9 months, taking from our mother, the earth, and now it's time to rest. And so that bear will come out and replenish itself, and it will provide for us over the next 9 months that healing work that we need. A time for us to go inward and see where we're at, to think about all those things we've learned over the last 9 months, all those people we have sat with, all those people we have conversed with, so that we can think about those lessons we've learned, go over those experiences that we experienced, and see where we are at in our life. A time for us to reach out to each other and be those supports while we ourselves heal. We are those vessels for others, so that we can take in all the lessons that we need to be able to pour them into many people's cups, and so that many of us are enriched and healed. It's not a time to keep those teachings, those lessons, those experiences to yourself. No, my friend, it's something that we need to share with each other. Because just as we hear the words we need to hear and experience the experiences from other people, there are those that are out there waiting to hear from us, waiting to hear what we have learned, and so we can share with them. A time when everything is asleep. A time when we too must get some sleep and balance our lives once we review what we have experienced over the last 9 months. So my friends, I urge you to make sure that you have your supports in place, that you have resources lined up, that you have a family or a family of the heart member that you can reach out to if you're having a hard time, a time to talk to the Creator and all those ancestors that have gone on before, all your relatives who once learned all the lessons they needed to know and were able to return to the spirit world and are now waiting for us to speak with them. A time when those ones that are yet to be here are watching us and seeing what we're going to do with life to make this place a better place for them for when they come into their human being body. So my dear friends, look at all these things. Take the time to do your healing. Take the time to learn the lessons that you too will share with other people at some point in your journey. Make sure that you pull that blanket nice and tight up around you like that snow that covers our earth. Get your rest. Enjoy that comfort. Enjoy that healing. And then be still. Be still and know that the Creator and your ancestors are watching over you and will guide and protect you and help you as you look forward to these next months that will be coming up when the spring comes and the buds come into being and everything bursts into life. And you too will be ready to face whatever comes in your journey. Thank you for letting me share these moments with you. Have a beautiful and wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Take some time to reflect. Keep the candle lit as long as you need. Take care of yourselves and one another. Kananaskomten Woliwan from Winter Bundle creators Mo Clark and Moon. we want to acknowledge the generous support of CKUT and all our contributors for making Winter Bundle Pipun Mamawip Chikimashkekea possible. Say, welcome to Winter Bundle. Pipun Mamawip Chikimashkekia. Each bundle of stories, sounds, teachings, and sharings from Indigenous kin, Two-Spirit community, artists, elders, has been assembled with care and an intention to offer medicine and comfort for our spirits, minds, hearts, and bodies in these wintering times. Many of our nations say only after the first snow has covered the ground can we tell our sacred stories. And while the stories we include here may not be sacred in our traditional ways of knowing, they carry much needed medicine for us during these strange times. We are grateful for the traditional carers of these lands upon which these stories were collected. Nyawang to the Ganyangehaga, Mohawk people of Jojage, Montreal, and to the Anishinaabe who called this land Munyang. We invite you to consider the lands you are listening from, acknowledging with care those who have tended and continue to tend to the lands, waters, skies, trees, and to all the stone, root, fruiting, blooming, and seeding kin, to all the four-legged, swimming, flying, creepy crawler ones, and the perhaps not visible, to our star relations, the thundering ones, the rainbow bodies, the weather beings, and all other life who animate existence. If you're able, we invite you to light a candle, pour yourself some tea, get cozy with a blanket, and take a deep breath. Settle into these stories, and may they provide you the medicine you need. To begin, we're joined by Mel Lefebvre, a Two-Spirit, Métis Nehio Nakoda Soto artist, mother, and community worker. Here's a clip from her podcast, Kiano Mashkekewakan, Our Medicines, celebrating Two-Spirit and Indigenous women resilience and practices of self-care.
You want to tell me your name? What's your full name?
I'm Beatrice Toby.
Remember our conversations about our ancestors? You know for sure one of your ancestors. That's
Lillian.
Yeah, who's Lillian?
She's my great-grandmother. Huh? And she's the mommy of my grandpa Jeff.
And sometimes we call to Lillian to help us, right?
Sometimes when I cry, I need help, so I call her.
Yeah. That's good, because you know she's there, right? She's always there to help us.
But I don't see her. Like, practically, she can't really help us, because, like, we don't really see her, so... And she doesn't really talk to us.
Well, they have... No, that's...
She can't talk to us.
Are you making air quotes? Yeah, but she can help us. She can protect us. She can talk to us in our dreams. And how do we call to her? What do we use in order to call to her?
We take some candles, and we take some sage.
Mm-hmm.
And we just call for her, and we put... And then we have the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So we put it around our face, around our eyes, our necks.
Yeah. Does that clean us? It helps us to be clean and to have a clear mind.
Yes, and have a clear mind and see well and be strong.
Yeah.
And smell well.
Yeah.
And scrunch well.
Scrunch well? Yeah. Yeah. Scrunching is important.
How do you care for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And as an extension to that, what do you think are the biggest barriers to self-care?
I've been riding my bike through the winter this year.
Right on. That's badass.
Fuck. Yeah, it's been pretty awesome to know that I can do that. Mm-hmm. I like Netflix is like my friend.
Mm-hmm.
We have like a yard, so we do some gardening, vegetable gardening and flowers and stuff. That helps a lot. I like essential oils.
Oh,
lavender.
Too.
Yeah, lavender's one of my favorites.
Very
that calms me down. Oh, and my antidepressants, of course, calm me down as well. I'm not really a good, like, routine person. So if I'm, like, smudging, which is not daily because I don't do anything daily. But if I do get to smudging, it really does help me kind of become centered. And I do feel that things kind of happen in a good way after that. Like, for example... We smudged before this podcast, and I haven't had any issues. Like, I haven't felt nervous. I've been really... So I think it's just really grounding. And of course, like, my grandmother's always with me. Like, I tell Anne that all the time, you know? Like, so that is just part of my thinking. Like, it's just part of me being, right?
Now we hear from Two-Spirit, Oji Cree, Elder, Storyteller, and Knowledge Keeper, Mene Shakabe, and her experiences being raised by the land, by her grandmother, and the teachings from Spirit and the Lodge. Mene shares themes of caring for elderly parents on their journey towards spirit world, and near the end of her storytelling, she speaks of the mistreatment experienced by Two-Spirit kin and the invitation for healing and care that Grandmother Moon offers. May these stories bring you medicine.
My grandfather was Ojibwe in French, and he was part of Thunderbird clan. He died before I was born. My grandmother told me about him. He told her, if we ever get a granddaughter, we're going to call her Monet, because I really love that artist, and I think we need to name her after that artist. And my grandmother says, yeah, that's going to be a hard one to do, because we never heard that kind of name before, she said. So then when she heard that her first granddaughter was being adopted out. She came and got me. She took me home when I was 2 years old. And then when I was 4, that's when she said, your grandfather wanted you to have this name, Manet. But I found this name where we always go blueberry picking. There's a hill and it's got a name. It's called Manet. Manet Nakang. That's what it's called. That's how she named me. My grandfather named me from the French part of his life, and then my grandmother named me as part of her Anishinaabe life from that place where she raised me. And we used to go to that hill and to go blueberry picking. We always went up there, and that's the name of that hill we used to go. It's really beautiful there. It's got lots of blueberries and lavender tea and all this beautiful green smells. And, you know, I remember because I was in Tickenaughen. I was 2 years old and she put me in Tickenaughen because she didn't trust me to stay one place. And you know what Tickenaughen is, eh? I remember when I look, my arms is like this, and then I see people. I thought, when I have visions, I see people doing this. Well, I was copying what they were doing because they looked like they were praying, but they were picking berries. They would bend over to do something, and then they would sit up, and then they would bend over. And that's what my memories is, and that's an incredible, incredible dream that I had. And that's the way. And I asked my grandmother after when I was older, I said, how come people, how old was I when everybody was doing all this bending over and getting up, bending over? She said, we were picking blueberries. And you were in Tickenaughen because we didn't allow you to go running around. We would have lost you, she said. But she was too old to hold me that way because she was in her 90s, late 90s, remember? And she had a lot of helpers. There was a man and 2 women that she had that would lift her up. And because she was so old, she was getting old. Like when I was 16, we had to hook her and we had to change her. We had to do all this for her because she started to cradle like a baby. Like she was going back to her babyhood. That's how old she was. She was 109 years old. And the doctor said she had strong bones. The only reason why she lasted that long. I think I'm going to last that long myself. I hope. I think that I'm going to last that long. I hope I have my grandmother's genes because she lived a long time. Tani Shikabe, yeah. T-A-N-N-I-E. That's a Cree name. First time when I went to the lodge for the first time, I asked, okay, I'm going to be alone from now on. I'm not going to be with my people. I'm just going to be me. And I'm going to pretend there's people with me. And then I had white kids, white people, white young people that was really interested in me. And they said they wanted to help me, so they did. There was 2 girls, 2 young ladies that they were white girls, and they wanted to help me to do my sweat lodge, and they were going to, one of them was going to look after the fire and the other one was going to just kind of be the go-getter to do something. And I took it, and then I had a partner that time. My partner says, okay, if you want to do a sweat, so I did a personal sweat. I did a 4-day, 5-day fast. I can't do 7-day fast because of my heart. So I had to do shorter ones. So then I did my fast. And then I went in my fast, after I did the fast, I walked to a place called Silver Falls, which is a 2-hour walk to the falls, and I went and sat over there, and I put all the rocks, all the grandfather's circle, and I had a little opening where I go in, and then I close it, and I'm sitting there, and I looked at the falls falling, and then I right across the river where the falls is falling on the other side, there was a woman sitting on the other side, looked like she was sitting like this in a chair. And I thought, oh my God, there's somebody there. And she was smiling at me and she was going like this, waving at me. That was my grandmother. And then I yell at my partner and I says, hey, do you see her? And then they look, no, we don't see her, but you probably can see her. We believe you. They said, you know, because they started a little fire and they were making tea while I'm in here, while I'm in this circle of rocks. And then I sat there for 6 hours all totally just to meditate. And then when I'm done, I went to join them and had a cup of tea. And by then my fast was over because that was my first cup of tea. I drank the cedar tea. I told both of them, I want to go in this forest. There's a big forest, bunch of tall, tall trees. I said, I need to go in there and say a little prayer with the trees and talk to them because they're my counselors, I told them. Then they decided to follow me. And I was walking ahead. In front of me, there was a whole batch of eagle feathers. Whole batch of them. The whole eagle feathers. It's the wings and everything. And I looked at, oh my God, it's like a miracle. I wasn't just given one, you know, so I only found one time. I said, how come I never get eagle feathers? Everybody else gets it. And I got one time. And this time when I said, wow, look at this. I must deserve something to get that much feathers. So I got a whole bunch of feathers and I gave some to my partner, and then I gave some to the girl that was my helper. It was like going to a store and winning gold because the eagle was there for me, and I got the eagle's foot. I haven't done anything with the foot yet. I'm still working on doing something special with it. You know, a long time ago when I was little, I was about 6 years old, my real mom says to me, it was cold winter night My real mother says, go get some water from that lake, from that little river, that lake. Go now, she said. I said, okay, so I'm going down a road with a little bucket. And then I'm standing there. And I remember my grandmother's story. She says, long way back, long, long time ago, there was this little girl or a little boy. She was two-spirit child, she said. She was a little boy and she was a little girl. She was a little girl in a little boy's body. And people would make her do things to go get. They would shove her outside and she would stay out all day long, bringing woodlings and bringing all this stuff. And she was getting tired of doing that because they hardly fed her. They were abusing her, she said. Then one day this moon, Grandmother Moon said, well, I can't take this. I can't take this, what they are doing to this little girl. So I'm going to send her a message. I'm going to tell her at night to look at me in the moon and I will take her. She can come with me. And so one day, this little girl was down by the lake, and her ice bucket was a small little bucket, but then she tried to get water from it, and the ice was so cold that it was freezing really fast, so she wasn't getting enough. She didn't get enough water for the family. And she stood there, and she looked at the moon came out. The nice round moon came out, and she stared at it, and she asked the moon, take me away. Come and get me. And then all of a sudden, the way the story goes is that evening, that night, they went to look for her. They looked for her all over. All they saw was her footprints in front of the watering hole. There was no bucket. There was no stick where she carried the bucket. No stick. No bucket, no little girl. And then each moon in February, you will see a design of a little girl or a little boy in the moon. In February month, you will see a design. She's holding her bucket like this, and there's a bucket behind her, and she's standing like this. And I saw that moon long time ago when I was able to see the moon. I can't see moon right now because I'm visually impaired, but I remember what the moon looked like that time. And I saw that, and here she's holding it like this over her shoulders, and she's standing like that very proudly. And so in February, that's what you girls have to do, is look for a moon. The coolest night of February, you will see her.
In Mene's story, she shares the term Menenagang, which translates to mean Blueberry Hill. And the song that was sung is Nibi Wabo, an Anishinaabe water song originally created at a gathering in Kitiganzi-Bi. Nibi Wabo, the spirit of water is alive inside of me. The spirit of water is the blood of the earth. This song is a prayer for cleansing and healing of the waters in us all. And now we hear from Kijate, a young two-spirit Anishinaabe artist and storyteller. And this is their take on ASMR. Kijate was sharing with us in Anishinaabe Mohin, part of the Algonquin language family. And now we hear messages from Two-Spirit Elder Blue Waters, Ishji Nigamun, Earth Song, Cree Métis Mi'kmaq Wolf Clan Grandmother. Blue shares with us important teachings to offer us medicine and care.
Hello folks, it's Elder Blue coming to you from Peterborough, surrounded by Hiawatha First Nation, Curve Lake First Nation, and Alderville First Nation. I'm coming today to share a few words with you during this COVID time that we're in about medicines and how to take care of yourself using traditional medicines. One good medicine that I like to let people know about is the medicine called bear root, also known as OSHA, O-S-H-A. It's one of the medicines that the bear uses as soon as it comes out of hibernation to cleanse its digestive system, settle its stomach, and bring it into a good balance. So I just wanted to share that one with you, as well as I wanted to share with you about cedar. Cedar tea is another one of our good medicines that we use at this time of the year to help us with whatever we're going through, to help aid our mental health and our physical wellness. And we use that tea to help us remain calm and to remain grounded and rooted in comfort. So that is another medicine that I would like to share with you. The third medicine that I would like to share with you is Labrador tea. Labrador tea, also known as swamp tea or native tea, that's another one of our medicines that we use, especially during troubled times. It also helps in aiding with heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, nervous stomach. For that way to create communication between us and everything that the earth holds for us and gives to us. We use it when we harvest our medicines, and we use it to create that communication. So those are a few ways in which we use traditional medicines. There are thousands and thousands of traditional medicines, but I thought maybe, you know, a good way to start off was by using those four sacred medicines and then those three different teas that we rely upon for help, to help us during these times. I would suggest if you're making cedar tea that you only use the green leaves of that cedar plant and then boil them in water for no more than 8-9 minutes, and then take those plants out, that those stems from that tree, that green part, and put it back down to our earth, our mother, the earth. And then in that way, you can return to the earth what it gave you. And then you can also add a little bit of maple syrup. We're coming into that time when spring will be arriving, that time when that maple tree gives us its beautiful sap water that we in turn make into maple syrup. And that is another medicine that we incorporate into that making of cedar tea. And when we use bear root, I would suggest you only use about a quarter of a teaspoon of either chopped or ground bear root for 2 cups of water. And then you can have one of those cups in the morning to help you start off your day in a good way.